Verse 1, as we're coming to the end of our studies in Romans, we passed over the last part of chapter 15. We're going to go back and pick that up for a missions emphasis in the near future. But this morning, chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, and also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. This is the word of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful privilege to worship you this morning, to be reminded of your greatness, to be reminded of your power, your sovereignty, your eternity. And now, Father, we look to the Word of God, and Father, we pray that as the Word goes forth, you would encourage and strengthen the hearts of your people, even, Lord, through this Word, a list of names, saints now in glory, that we who know Christ are going to meet one day. But now we see them here in Scripture. Bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, these verses that we just read, 16 verses, maybe not something you would turn to in your devotional reading. Maybe something that when you come to the end of this magisterial epistle of Paul, you would tend to just skip over with a lot of kind of hard to pronounce names. Is there blessing for us in a list of names like this? I believe there is. I believe we can find nuggets of treasure in this list of names and what Paul says about them. I think when you read a list like this, it really reveals the heart. It reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul. He was not only an evangelist, missionary, and church planter, but he was a friend maker. Paul, you would agree that he was a man of great intellect and theological understanding, and yet Paul was a people person. He had a genuine love and affection for people, and I think it's reflected in the fact that he names here some 24 people. He mentions other households by name, but directly greets at least 24. It's amazing. Paul, all that was accomplished, and yet he was a friend to so many. As I said, I think we tend to think of Paul as sort of an intimidating, no-nonsense type of person. Suppose you had the opportunity to spend a day with Paul, or a half day with Paul. Would that be a little intimidating? Now, maybe not. Maybe you'd really relish that. But for some, that would be like, what am I going to say? Paul is this great mind and intellect. I was reminded of Ken Davis. I think we heard this when we were at Moody Pastors Conference. Ken Davis, the Christian comedian, he talked about having the wonderful opportunity once in a lifetime to spend a few hours with Billy Graham at Billy's home in the mountains of North Carolina. And he got there and Ken Davis said, "I was absolutely tongue-tied. I didn't know what to say. Here I was with Billy Graham and we were sitting on Billy's porch." And he said, "All I could think to say was, 'These are really nice rockers, Billy.'" And Billy said, "Thanks. Got them at Cracker Barrel." Perhaps it would be like that with a meeting with Paul. And yet, although he was this imposing theologian and great intellect, he was warm, he was caring, he was affectionate. He loved people and they loved him. This morning, as the clock radio came on early, J. Vernon McGee was preaching. And he was preaching what he called the greatest sermon that Paul ever preached. And it was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul really just talks about his love for the people. One verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, he wrote, "Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." That was the life of Paul. That was the life of Paul. Here's this list of names. Paul has not yet been to Rome when he writes this, but he knows all these people there. Some that he had led to Christ, others that he had met through the journeys of the years leading up to this. And he mentions them by name. That in and of itself is an encouragement to us. Let's learn people's names. I know many of you say, I just can't learn names. Well, we can try to do a little better, to carry them on a card, to write the names of your neighbors on your refrigerator, where before you go out across the backyard fence, what are those names again? And you remind yourself. Learn people's names, write them down, greet them by name, including people in the church and those who come to the church. It will open doors to their hearts and open avenues for the gospel. Pray for people by name. Well, let's look at this chapter, these verses. You really can't outline it, but we'll try to draw some things from it that will encourage us this morning. Notice, first of all, Paul's commendation in verses 1 and 2. Paul's commendation of this woman named Phoebe. He says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea." Paul was writing this letter of Romans from Corinth. And Cenchrea was near Corinth. It was the port city on the coast that served Corinth. And so there was interchange between the cities and the churches there in Corinth and Cenchrea. He says, "Receive her in the Lord." And most scholars believe that it's likely that Phoebe carried this letter that we now know as the 16 chapters of the epistle to the church at Rome, that Phoebe carried them from Cenchrea, the area of Corinth, over to Rome. It's a fascinating thought, that in and of itself. Assuming that's true, and it's likely this is the truth, that she indeed carried this epistle in her backpack or whatever they carried back then, some kind of satchel. Think of it. No women authors of Scripture, but God entrusted this epistle. God entrusted this Scripture, the original copy, to a woman who carried it hundreds of miles across water by ship and land and used her, protected her to deliver this letter to the church at Rome. And we have it today, as God's preserved it, as part of Scripture. He commends Phoebe to the church at Rome. It's like a letter of introduction. That was common as messengers went out from churches. Can we trust this messenger? And so Paul says, "I commend her to you. You can trust her." Notice three things he says about Phoebe. She's a sister, she's a servant, and she's a supporter of many. She's a sister. She's born again. She's part of the body of Christ. She's our sister, Phoebe. She's a servant. The word there is diakonos, probably used in a general sense. She's a servant of the church. Whether she had the actual title of deaconess is unclear. Later in church history, the office of deaconess would appear where women would care for the sick, the widows, the imprisoned, teach women converts. At any rate, she was a servant, and she was a supporter, a helper, it says, of many and of myself as well. She was a helper. That word there, helper, translates a word in the original that refers to someone who was a person of means and would use their means to support and benefit others. So possibly she was a wealthy woman, maybe on business travel to Rome. We don't know. But what a blessing. People who are willing to be used and use their time and their talent and their treasure in service for Christ and others. Two things that Paul says the church at Rome was to do for her: receive her and help her. See it in verse 2. Receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. Receive her, because that's what we're to do for fellow believers who are in the Lord's work. Receive them. She's unknown to you, but welcome her warmly. Receive her because she's a sister in the Lord and she's a servant of the church. Sometimes churches don't do very well at receiving others, receiving those who are new in their midst, receiving the stranger. You know, Pastor Ken was great in how he would encourage us to be always welcoming the stranger in our midst. And he was so good, even from his wheelchair, right? And I know he would direct some of you ushers from his wheelchair. Check that out. Greet them. Ken told the story about on vacation one time, visiting in a church somewhere on vacation. And it was a smaller church, but they had the greeting time where you were to stand and greet those around you. And he told how a man in the pew ahead of him turned around, saw Ken, stuck his hand out to Ken, and then looked him in the face and pulled his hand back and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I knew you." That's not the way to do it. Receive them. Receive them. Help her, secondly. Help her. She has a need. Provide for her needs. Give her all the help you can. All right, Paul's commendation of this sister, Phoebe. Secondly, notice after his commendation, his greetings. Now, this goes on for a number of verses, and it's just name after name. But as I said, we'll just seek to draw some insights and some things for our encouragement this morning. Paul says, greet Prisca and Aquila, verse 3. Now, other places it's Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. That's how I always learned her name in the King James. But here it's Prisca, another form of it. They're mentioned first, and Paul says the most about them in this list of names. And we know more about Priscilla and Aquila than we do anyone else. In some cases, this is the only place that some of these other names are mentioned in the Bible. But we know more about this lovely couple. What do we know about them? Paul met them at Corinth. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the next letter after Romans, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, where Paul meets Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila, this lovely couple in the Lord's service. Acts 18, after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, the emperor, had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them. Paul came to Priscilla and Aquila, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. So Paul comes to Corinth, and he finds this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, and because they're all tent makers, they began to meet together, they worked together, and they began to serve the Lord together. And notice, Priscilla and Aquila had been forced to leave Rome. They had been forced to leave Rome. Later, Paul in chapter 18 and verse 18, it says that Paul took Priscilla and Aquila with him to Ephesus and left them at Ephesus to minister there. And they had a church in their house at Ephesus. Paul later would write 1 Corinthians from Ephesus, and in 1 Corinthians 16:19, he said, "Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord, along with the church in their home." So this is the picture you get of this couple as they moved around the Roman Empire. And that in and of itself is fascinating. All this mobility and movement of the saints, some of them in the empire at this time. Certainly Priscilla and Aquila. Later they returned back to Rome when the ban on the Jews had been lifted. And there was a house church now in their house at Rome, just like they had had in Ephesus. Here in Romans again, verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church that is in Priscilla and Aquila's house. Then we find them later back in Ephesus. 2 Timothy 4:19. Paul writes to Timothy at Ephesus and he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." They're back in Ephesus. So they're mobile. They're serving the Lord. This delightful couple using their resources. They were not apostles. They were not prophets. They were workers. The work of Christ engrossed them. You know, it's delightful when a couple like this serves the Lord. And I am blessed. We are blessed in this church to see couples serving the Lord. We are blessed to see singles like Joe this week. Not to be single much longer, but working, serving out of her singleness, leading VBS. And we have couples that serve the Lord. God bless you who are serving as couples, as Priscilla and Aquila did. Paul mentions something interesting about this couple. Verse 4. It says, "Who for my life risk their own necks." They risk their own necks. "To whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." They risk their necks. Literally, the word means to place under. Risk there means to place. They place their necks under. What? Under the axe? Under the executioner's sword, or came close to it? The death penalty? We're not sure when, how they risked their own necks. Possibly at the riot at Ephesus when Paul's life was in danger. We don't know. But they literally laid their lives on the line for Paul. They risked their necks. They showed love and esteem for him that way. Why? Why? Because they loved Paul. Paul loved them. And they were willing to lay down their life for Paul. All the churches gave thanks for them, Paul says. They were a great missions couple. Praise God. Greet the church, Paul says. Verse 5, that is in their house. They opened their home and made it available for gospel ministry, for a church there in Rome. You know, we're called to lay down our lives. 1 John 3:16. "We know love by this, that He, Christ, laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We must move on. Verse 5, "Greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia." Greet Epaphras. His name means praiseworthy. He's called my beloved. It's easy to see why Paul would call him my beloved, because this Epaphras was the first convert to Christ from Asia. Asia, what today is Western Turkey, the Roman province then of Asia. Ephesus was the capital of that province of Asia. And because Paul was the first to evangelize Asia, Epaphras, it would seem clear, was Paul's convert. And he says he is the first convert. Literally, it's the first fruits to Christ from Asia, meaning there were more to come. But Epaphras was the first one. Perhaps you can't recall the first one you led to Christ. But Paul remembered them, and he kept up with them. And he sends greetings to Epaphras, who is now in Rome, to which Paul has yet to come to. He will eventually, but he hadn't been there yet. But Epaphras, who had been led to Christ in Asia, Western Turkey, we would say today, is now there, and Paul sends greetings to Epaphras, the first convert from Asia, my beloved. Verse 6, greet Mary who worked hard for you. We don't know anything else about this Mary except that she worked hard. Literally, the original reads, greet Mary the toiler. She worked hard for you. He has worked hard for you. She grew weary, literally, in her toil, her service for the church. Just skipping ahead a bit to verse 12, there's three women there as well. These sisters, apparently, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis, who were workers in the Lord and who worked hard in the Lord. You know, thank God for you women who serve in the church, like Mary, like Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis. All you women, like I said, 80 to 90 workers this week. God bless you. It wasn't easy. Get up early and get your children here with you, your little ones, and or take off time from work, as some of you did, to serve. God bless you. You know, speaking of work, obviously one of the things that has changed in the church over the years is more and more women have entered the workforce. It limits them in how they're able to serve. But God bless you women that need to work but are able to serve in the church. God bless you. So we ask the question, are we laborers? Are we finding a place of ministry in the church? 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Junius is the masculine form. It could also, some of the ancient manuscripts have Junia there, which would make her a female. And so it's possibly a husband and wife. Maybe if it's the masculine form, it's two brothers. We're not exactly sure. But either way, they were Paul's kinsmen, perhaps his blood relatives, or that they were Jewish believers, his kinsmen. And at some point, they were fellow prisoners of Paul. And then it says these two in verse 7 were outstanding among the apostles. Two ways to take that. It could mean that they were outstanding. Their reputation was outstanding among the apostles of Christ, those selected by Christ, including Paul. Or it could mean that they were apostles and they were outstanding among the group of apostles. Obviously, the word apostle can be used two ways in the New Testament. The 12 or the 13 when you include Paul, selected by Christ, or in the general sense of apostle, meaning one sent out by the church. That's the meaning of apostle. One sent in the name of Christ. And they were outstanding among the apostles. Either way, they were workers. They were workers. They were outstanding examples of faithful workers for the gospel. Verse 8, greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Fascinating story behind the name Ampliatus. We don't know. This is somewhat speculation, but I'll tell you the story. In the Christian catacombs in Rome, where the Christians would meet for worship underground and where the Christians would bury their dead, in one of the catacombs is a beautiful carved monument, gravestone with a single name on it. This name right here, Ampliatus. Now, what's interesting is one name on a gravestone signified that was probably a slave. Slaves had one name. But it's a beautiful headstone. If you were a free Roman, you would have had your first name, middle name, last name. So here's this in the catacomb, this grave in Rome, headstone, tomb marker. That says Ampliatus, but it's beautiful. It's interesting to think about that may have been this brother right here. Possibly a slave, since it's just one name on the grave. But a beautiful stone indicating the love and respect for this servant of the Lord. Who knows? He may have been a teacher in the church at Rome. God is no respecter of persons. My beloved, Paul says, my beloved, if Ampliatus was a slave, the early church, social economic distinctions meant little. Slave and wealthy were together as one body in Christ. That's a lesson for us. Galatians 3:28. In the body of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Another name that was common among slaves. He's called our fellow worker. Greet Stachys, my beloved. Three times already, Paul has used the word my beloved. My beloved. We don't know a lot about these men, these people, but they were fellow workers with Paul, and Paul loved them. My beloved. Verse 10, greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Isn't that good? Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Now, the name Apelles means called. And he's the approved one. The word approved there means tried and tested. It was used of metals that passed the test for purity and genuineness. Here was a brother that Paul singles out as approved, tried and tested in Christ. That's good. Job said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23:10. End of verse 10. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Aristobulus. Now, Aristobulus, notice carefully, he's not greeted personally. It says, greet the household of Aristobulus. Maybe Aristobulus has died. Maybe he's not a believer, but there are believers, family members, or slaves in his household, and Paul says, greet the household of Aristobulus. Scholars believe that this Aristobulus mentioned here was the man who was the grandson of Herod the Great. And Aristobulus lived in Rome, so he was royalty. When he passed away, his slaves, his servants, would have become the personal property of the emperor. So it's possible that when Paul says, greet those of the household of Aristobulus, these are part of the ones, for example, when Paul wrote Philippians in chapter 4, and he wrote that from Rome when he was under house arrest. And remember, Paul said, those of Caesar's household greet you. There were believers among the servants and the workers in Caesar's household, possibly some of these right here, greet the household of Aristobulus, if indeed this is the grandson of Herod the Great, who would have been later perhaps absorbed into Caesar's household. It's fascinating to think that here in Caesar's household were believers. And we know that to be true from Philippians 4. Those of Caesar's household who are believers, they greet you. Verse 11, greet Herodian, my kinsman, obviously taken from the name Herod. So perhaps again, part of Caesar's household, part of a royal family that's now serving Caesar, and he's to be greeted. Verse 11, greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. There was a Narcissus, a man by the name of Narcissus, in the administration of Emperor Claudius, and so possibly again a reference to those in the household of Caesar's servants who were to be greeted. It's just fascinating how Paul knew all of these people and knew about them and sends greetings to them. Verse 12, three women are mentioned. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Doesn't that have a good ring to it? Tryphena, Tryphosa. There's some suggestions for names. Now, these are sisters. My mom's name was Nora. Her twin sister is Dora. Nora, Dora. Well, these are probably twins, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Their names mean dainty and delicate, probably in a wealthy family. But Paul says they're workers in the Lord. The fact that their names mean dainty and delicate didn't stop them from serving the Lord in the church. Okay? The next one is fascinating as well. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Now, he uses the past tense there. So possibly Persis was an older woman. It says she has worked hard in the Lord. And Paul accords her honor. Notice he doesn't say, "Greet Persis, my beloved," like he's already said several times. She's a woman, Persis, a woman of Persia origin. But he calls her the beloved. He doesn't want to give an inappropriate attachment, my beloved. So he says, Persis, the beloved. Perhaps an older woman. And as Cammie and I thought on this, how we thought over the years in various churches of the senior saints, the women who, as God gave them strength and beyond their strength, would labor to minister to the church and the saints. God bless you women. I was going to say who find yourselves in that age, but let's just move on here. He greets Persis, perhaps a single woman, who was loved by all, the beloved. Greet Rufus, verse 13. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. There's an interesting connection here with Mark's gospel, which was written in Rome. Remember, Paul's writing to Rome. Go back to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And let's just be reminded of this. Mark 15, verse 21. This is the crucifixion scene of Jesus. Remember, Paul is saying, greet Rufus. Greet Rufus, who's in Rome. Now in chapter 15, verse 21, they, the Romans, pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene. Okay? Simon, Jewish name. So here's Simon, and he's pressed into service by the Romans. Probably didn't want to do this. Jewish people didn't care for the Roman legions among them. But the Roman soldiers grab this Simon of Cyrene, who's a passerby, and they compel him to bear the cross of Jesus to Golgotha. But notice, Mark mentions that Simon of Cyrene, who carries the cross of Jesus, is the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, why would Mark insert that there like that? Probably because they were well known. They were well known. Why else would he say that? The father of Alexander and Rufus. And remember, we believe Mark was writing from Rome. Paul is writing to Rome, and he says, greet Rufus. So it's quite possible, can't be sure 100%, it's quite possible when Paul says, greet Rufus, this is the son of the man who carried the cross of Christ. And we can't know for sure, but maybe it was that experience as Simon was compelled to be involved that day of the crucifixion. Perhaps it led him to Christ. It says he was just a passerby, but he carried the cross. And maybe through that, Rufus, his son, would have become a believer. And now Paul says, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. And greet his mother and mine. Apparently, Paul, whose own mother, who knows? Paul may have been disowned. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, he says, for the cause of Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things. Is it possible then that Paul had lost even family attachment, that they had disowned him when he left Judaism, became a believer in Christ? We don't know. But in some way, the mother of Rufus had ministered to Paul. And so Paul says, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. She was like a mother to me. What a blessing when one loses natural family members and God provides others. God provides others to serve as mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And Jesus said, when you leave houses and lands and so on, I will provide for you much more in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. Verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. We made reference to this earlier. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I passed over verses 14 and 15 where Paul greets a group of people and all the brethren with them. And verse 15, greet those and all the saints who are with them. It appears to be a couple of house churches in Rome. And Paul says, greet them and all the brethren who are with them. And all the brethren, saints who are with them. And then this admonition to warmly greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we don't do that anymore. We don't, in this culture, greet that way. But it was important in that culture as the church gathered. And many of these would have been outcasts from the culture, the society, from their own families. And Paul says, Let affection and warmth characterize your fellowship. Greet one another warmly. Let's practice that. One translation says, greet one another with a hearty handshake. There are times when an embrace is appropriate, obviously. Someone's lost a family member. Someone's going through a difficulty and you come and embrace them. Or you give them a hug on the side. It's appropriate. And Paul is encouraging warmth and greeting in the church. All right, as we close, just a few words of personal application. Number one, how is my function in the church? In other words, how am I serving in the church? We saw again and again, they worked hard. They worked hard. They're hard workers. They've laid down their lives for my sake. Paul addressed many here as workers. And you know, it's really a blessing to serve in the church. And it begins with a hard attitude. It begins with a willing attitude. And it seems that oftentimes those that are the busiest are the most willing to serve in the church. But we will do what is important. We will do what we value. It's sad that in our culture, would you agree, we're becoming more and more individualistic. The body of Christ and the relationships that ought to characterize the body are less important. And I wonder what it'll take to wake us up to the meaning and what the body is to look like. Now, God bless Lamar's Bible Church because God has given us a wonderful spirit of unity. But beloved, there's much more. We're not perfect. Far from it. And we need to continually be remembering the responsibility to serve and work. Secondly, how is my fellowship in the church, my function, but how is my fellowship in the church? Here you had slaves serving alongside others, serving together, fellowshipping together. And thirdly, how is my friendship? How is my friendship in the church? Paul was such a people person. As we saw, all these names that he knew, they loved him and he loved them. He talks about Priscilla and Aquila again, who risked their own necks for his sake. At Ephesus, we won't turn there, but Acts chapter 20, verse 37, as Paul was bidding them farewell, and they wept on him. They wept on his neck. Galatians, he said, you would have plucked out your very eyes and given them to me if it were possible. How is this? Paul had so many friends. It's because he was a friend, because he sincerely loved people. He cared more about others than he did himself. So as we close, beloved, just a word of exhortation. Do you ever think, as Paul is doing here, about all these people who had been a blessing to him? Do you ever just think about, over the years of your life, those that have been a blessing to you? Some of my regrets are older saints who blessed me in the Lord, were an example to me, modeled Christ to me, taught me, and then were called home to glory. And from time to time, I'd have the thought of just writing them a note. Today it could be an email, right? Or not a text. Let's forget the text, but something more personal. And just thanking them. Have you ever just sat down and thanked God for the people over the years that God used to bless you? Give thanks for them. Here's Paul giving thanks and greeting them and calling them beloved. Learn the names of people. Use their names. Be a true friend. This week, beloved, let me challenge you. Encourage, let's start here, one person with a call, a note, a visit. You can take them out for coffee. You're going to get in touch with someone that's blessed your life, and you're going to thank them. Pray for people by name. Pray for people by name. That will help you remember their names. And encourage one another. Greet one another. Let love and warmth flow through the church. You will be encouraged. The fellowship of the church will be strengthened. The gospel will be advanced. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, Father. A list of names that amazing, really, in the life of Paul. So busy. So much responsibility. Writing. Teaching. Traveling. But never lost sight of the individual. It's a lesson to me trust it's a lesson to all of us. So, Father, to that end, bless each of us. Bless your church in these things. Father, for any here this morning who are new to this church or strangers to the church, might they sense the love of Christ here and the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and gave his life, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Might those truths bear fruit in our midst today and in the days to come. For Jesus' sake, and all God's people said, Amen.